So this morning, we looked at the subject of preparing to land. When I am coming in on a flight from India, we were able to look at the monitor and know I've got 14 and a half hours. We have now gone this many miles. We now have this much, and about the time I thought I can't stand it anymore, it says you have now past 7 hours and you have 7.5 hours more to go. You have gone 6,000 miles and you have 4,000 more, or whatever it was. But you know, the ability of that was I had something to look at. This is how much farther it is until this thing is over. And then comes within just a few miles of the airport, prepared to land. And I'm thinking about that in our own lives. To be able to land safely in heaven at the end of it all, I don't have the privilege of knowing I've got 3 weeks, I've got so many hours. What I know is it's coming. You know, when we look at Matthew 25 and 1, kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins. They just knew the end was coming. Prepare for it. The bridegroom is coming. The wedding is about to happen sometime. And what I find from that is I can prepare for it, but then time passes by. And if I'm not careful, I'll become negligent. And it can slip up on me. We don't know the day or the hour that the Lord will come for us. So what I have to do is just live every hour as if it will be my end. And I look at those, five were wise and five were foolish. It said that there was a time when all of them had a lamp that was burning. If the bridegroom had come at that time, there would have been 10 wise. They would have all been prepared. But time kept passing. Things started happening to where it may not be today. And it ended up that by the time he did come, there's five of them that have let their light go out. What that is a little warning to me. I want to be ready. I want to be prepared for landing in heaven. Yes. I don't want it to slip up on me. Amen. I look in Exodus when God speaks to Moses, and he said, on this day, tell the people to kill a lamb. On this day. And then here is step-by-step instructions. I'm coming at midnight. Be ready. You know, that would be so easy for me to be ready today if he told me, Dan, tonight at midnight, you'll be called. Very few people will get that kind of warning. It said that all of the Israelites did what Moses said. It says that all of them were prepared. It's because they knew at this hour it's going to happen. It's not 2 years down the road. It's tonight at midnight. Be ready. They believed it and they were ready. What if he had gotten the same instructions, but it just said sometime you keep fresh blood on the doorpost of your house. Someday I'm coming back again. And a week passes and a month passes and a year passes. You know, after a while, you don't get just as serious about it as you were on that first day. You know, all of them were prepared at the day that it happened because it was that day. They knew, here's the day I kill it. Here's when I do it. I need to stay inside my house. I know when it is. None of us know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to call for us. So do we go through life worried about it? I just have fear. It's probably going to slip up on me. You remember Sister Maxine has told us before several times in her messages that the devil has told her, I will get you. Before the end. You know what? There's a song that says, my soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. And you know what I would say to her is, don't back off and relax. The devil has a plan until the day we draw our last breath. Yes, And he has a plan for us also. But do I live in fear that, okay, he's after me? I thought about Pilgrim's Progress. When Christian, it seems like when you would come down close to the end and you've been faithful through your life, that the devil would say, I tell you what, he's done a good job so far, I'll let him go. But you know, the story of Christian was not that way. When he was in the river crossing over, it's almost over now. He had thoughts coming to him of past things that had happened that had already been forgiven, just anything that could crowd his mind and cause him to think, I won't make it. But it was hopeful that helped him, encouraged him across. What I get from that is for us today, we don't know when our time is coming, but we are guaranteed it is coming for each one of us. We don't know the day or the hour. So how do I live my life? I want to start this afternoon with a verse in Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard my heart. And where does my heart first start being guarded? It's with my thoughts. Thoughts, I cannot control what thoughts come to my mind completely. There is some control. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The more I keep myself thinking about spiritual things, passing scripture in our mind, what does it say? Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When the children are saying their verses in Sunday school, we're doing something more than just showing how good they can memorize something. What we're wanting them to be doing is storing away his word in their heart. What does it say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And how that happens is, I believe the way the Lord would like for it to happen is I've been storing away scripture in my heart, not just in my head, but down in my heart. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, there's a scripture that comes up to be able to combat that. This one says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Yes. What I would like to do is take a look at Apostle Paul for a little bit. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, and in the 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And now I'd like to look at a verse in Acts, the 14th chapter. So Apostle Paul, what is it saying? Keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Apostle Paul, there's times when he's very popular. There's times when he's in trouble. Acts, the 14th chapter. And in this, there was a man healed. In the 11th verse, those folks were so happy when that man was healed. The people saw what Paul had done. They lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. You know, it would have been real easy. This is a pretty high time for Paul and Barnabas. They could have said, I tell you what, let's just leave them alone. Let's let them give us a little bit of praise today. We'll have a Bible study about it next week. They didn't do that. What they did was they cried out. Well, say, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you. So they didn't take any credit to themselves. A time when they could have been exalted. What do you say? I know how to abound. I know how to handle myself. What does it say? Keep your heart with all diligence in the high times and in the low times. In this high time when people are going to give him so much credit, they're even going to call one of them Jupiter and the other Mercurius. I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. Because look at this. Within just a few verses, he has been stoned. In the 19th verse, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, the same people that just minutes ago were saying, the gods have come down to us. Now somebody comes and talks to them and they are ready. In fact, they do stone them. Says they, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. There's a song that we sing, says, the tide of emotions may run as it will. You know, our emotions can be up one day and down another. You know, if we measured our salvation by how we feel, do you feel saved when you had the flu? When you're laying there, you think, I'm almost going to die. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. If you wanted to say salvation is when you are on a high, praising God and jumping and carrying on, well, then you might say, well, I don't feel saved today. But it says the tide of emotions can run as it will. But you know what? Our confidence is not in emotion up and down. If Paul's had been in emotion, he felt great when the people were for him. He took a roller coaster ride in just a few hours from popular to being stoned and drawn out of the city. But he's saying, I've learned some things. You know, we can sing the song, I am learning of my Savior. It's things for us to learn today. He says he already learned it, and I see where he did. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I was looking at this. You know, Paul had a concern for the Jews. That's where his desire was, for them to be able to make it. And you know, Paul's difficulties wasn't from the Roman people. They were only doing things because the Jews had already gotten them in trouble. And I look at this in Romans 10 and 1. Paul tells us here, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's my desire for them. You know what he had with that desire? He had some ups and some downs. There was a place that's in Acts 23 and 12 through 14. 40 men banded themselves together with a curse. We will not eat again until Paul is dead. You know, this is, if you're running on emotions and whether you're popular or not popular, boy, he's running low on fuel right now when he hears about that. There are men that say they won't eat again until I'm dead. And those were Jews. Those were the ones that he was concerned that they would be able to make heaven. You remember where Jesus was talking to the woman that came to him, I need help from you. And he said, I'm only come right now to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, he was working at that. His main focus was, I've got this gift I want to give to the Jewish people. He didn't go too much out. Remember, even he said, it's not meat to give the children's bread to dogs. He wasn't saying, I won't help you. He saw, I'm going to have her to see how much she will pursue it. But it gave me a little insight of how much Jesus was even interested in. This is for the Jews that I've come for. And then you see how they was treated. Look at this in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew 23 and 37. Here he's looking out over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. I look at this. You know, this came just a few days after he had come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And he was so popular. He had multitudes that were willing to throw their clothes down on let the donkey ride over them. We are so happy that he has come. And now, just a few days later, the tide of emotion can run how it wants to. It has a way of doing that in our own lives. I look at Paul and some things that happened to him. He says in Acts, the 20th chapter, He's got some things that are going to happen to him. 20 and 22. Now behold, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. You know, it looks like going to Jerusalem ought to be a happy time. I'm going back home again to people that love the Lord. You know, Jerusalem was a dangerous place to go if you had something to say about Jesus. But he says, here's what I do know, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. But I like to look at Paul when he says, none of these things move me. He says, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course. Well, I say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I have the times when people applaud me. I have the times when they want to stone me. I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? Finish your course with joy, and all you know is I'm going back to Jerusalem. And he says, you're not going to see my face again. I already know this is coming to an end for me. And yet he's wanting to finish his course with joy. What I'm looking for is, if I'm expecting things always in my life to be on the mountaintop, I'm going to have some trouble. But I want to be able to, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, when I'm abounding or when I'm abased, to be able to still walk with God. Over in 2 Corinthians, we get to see some of the things that came to him. 2 Corinthians 11 and 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Can you imagine how he felt when they say, come on, you're going to get another whipping? He said, okay, now this is number four. And now this is number five. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. What does content mean in a time like that? I don't think it's about me saying, I just love being here and I hope it continues. I don't know why they stop at 39 stripes anyhow. No, I think what it does is contentment means God's in control of my life. He's allowing this thing. Contentment isn't, I just want to stay in this. But contentment is that God's going to walk with me through these times that come to me. Kept his heart through all those times, through all these opportunities that, you know, Job had a lot of things happen to him. And it says, in all these, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. I believe Job kept his heart with all diligence. I want to be able to do the same thing. There is another verse in Acts, 24th chapter, and in the 16th verse. Because, you know, each one of these things, if Paul had not kept his heart with all diligence, he could have had a reaction. Even if he didn't say anything, he could have had a reaction in his heart that would have caused him problem. Remember Stephen? When Stephen is being stoned, we see that he kept his heart with all diligence before that. Because while he's being stoned, he has a little prayer. Don't lay this sin to their charge. Can you imagine being that way? It could have been so easy for Stephen to have said, you're going to pay for this. You'll meet this at the judgment. Instead, there was something in his heart. What does that song say? Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great. Something in his heart that he would be able to say from his heart, Lord, I tell you what, if this, my killing, my stoning, is the only thing that would keep them out of heaven, Lord, I'd like for you to wipe the slate clean for them. When we hear about Peter saying, how many times should I forgive? Seven times be enough. And he says, no, 70 times seven. To keep my heart with all diligence, I'm going to have a forgiving spirit within me. And that's going to have to be something that I cultivate. It doesn't come because mom and dad had it and I've got it. It's when I come to those times and I give it to the Lord, because I realize I'm preparing to land on the other side where there's only two options. And my heart has a whole lot to do with where I'm going to land. Keep your heart with all diligence, because there's going to be some issues come flowing out of it that can affect me. This one, Acts 24 and 16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Keeping a clear conscience, I have done what's pleasing to the Lord. Toward God and toward men, I want to be able to do that. You know, somehow, with all that that was happening to him, his highs and his lows, he was able to keep his eyes on the prize. And I think it's going to be very important for us today to do the same thing. He tells us about the prize that he was able to keep his eyes on. He had a vision. He had a heavenly vision where it says he was caught up into paradise and he saw something. Well, it's not happening to me that I'm caught up into paradise. But I tell you, I can find scripture that tells me heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And I want to start measuring my actions and reactions to other people around me by that. He was able to do that. And here's some things that he was able to say. In Romans, the 8th chapter, because we just read how many things had happened to him. Romans 8 and 18. I reckon, this is Paul talking, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and this would be adding all those times he was stoned, all those times he was shipwrecked, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And he goes on down in the 35th chapter, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, he's locked in. I've got this direction that I'm pointing. I'm going to press toward that. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? And he kind of named out some things that you could almost tell, the stonings, the beatings, all these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. What things can happen in my life to where I say, that's enough. God could do something better than that for me. But instead, what did he say? 38th verse. And I want it to be my testimony. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, none of these things would be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Should I live another 20, 30 years that I prepare for landing? You know how I've got to do that is each day I've got to guard my heart. And I've got to ask the Lord, what does it say in Psalms 139? Asking the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, because I want you to help prepare me for landing on the other side safely. Lead me in the way everlasting. So there is another verse, 2 Corinthians, because we get to find several places that we see Paul's reactions to the things that were happening to him. And I want to be able to use these in the times when trouble comes to me. This says in the 16th verse, 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. And you know what? We're watching it around us daily. We're watching it with Sister Maxine. We're watching it in our own bodies. The outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Can you imagine that? That as this decreases, this increases. My walk with the Lord gets closer and closer to where I can be like John when Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. And I don't have anything I need to correct. I say, even so come, Lord Jesus. I want to be able to do that. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Would you consider any one of those things to be called a light affliction? It was a major happening in his life. But he was comparing it with something. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And here's why. While we look not, or I'd like to change that, if we look not at the things which are seen. I can focus on the things which are seen and let those be my focus. And I won't be able to say these other things that it was light afflictions. But he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. I want to be able to do that. Because this finishes out in 2 Timothy. All of this in his life has come about now. He's finishing it up. 2 Timothy 4 and 7. Yes, I have fought. This is his, it's closing out now. He's here in the, prepare to land. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. And we all get to be applied in this unto all them that love his appearing. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There is a song that I'd like for us to sing. It's number 261. It's telling us, press on. There are some verses in there. Press on, my brother, sister, face the deadly foe. Through Jesus Christ we will conquer while traveling here below. And this last verse, press on to what's before us. You know, we could have had some failures in our life, places where we find we could have done it better. But this one, Paul had it. I just have to try to imagine what Paul felt like when he has now been converted. He was on his way to Damascus, and he said there were people that he had killed. I just wonder if some of those times when now he's ministering and he's going back to these congregations, could it be that he goes through a congregation now and hears this sister and her children? You know, he said he had some of them put to death. And he's got to face that. What's he going to do? Is he going to say, no, I just cannot go out anymore. I'm too embarrassed about it. He did what this says. Press on to what's before us, forgetting all the past. The light of heaven so glorious eternally shall last. To each of us, I want to say, press on to what's before us. I want to daily prepare to land my soul in heaven. To do that, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I'm going to miss it if I try it on my own. But if I would go to the Lord and say, Lord, I tell you what, would you please lead and guide me? Show me any adjustments that I need to make, because I want to make heaven my home. Maybe we could stand and sing number 261.